You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Once in a while, I've got a story, ain't got no mother. Let the bad guy win every once in a while.
When it go round in circles,
when it fly high like a bird up in the sky.
I was listening to that song. That song came on the radio when I was driving. I said, we're going to play that tonight. I like that line about, I got a story, ain't got no morals, let the bad guy win every once in a while. Well, from time to time, the bad guy wins, doesn't he, ladies and gentlemen? Down here as Southerners, we know that all too well. This is Billy Preston, the late Billy Preston. Had a couple of good songs. Anyway, hang on a second. Let me get this going. Okay. I'll tell you why I selected that song in just a minute, but let me go back to one thing first, and we'll get back to the reasons for playing that song tonight. I, of course, as you know, spoke at the Nationalist Solutions Conference today. I want to say one more thing about the people there, and I promise we're moving on, but so many fans of the Political Cesspool up there. Some that I have known and have met before, some good friends of mine, some acquaintances, some people that I've never met before, and they were introducing. It was such a high honor to not be able to move. And I'm telling you, I was not. If I came out of my room, it was one person after another wanting to come up and talk. Do you know how much that means to me, ladies and gentlemen? I want to thank everybody there that I'm talking about. People coming up asking to take pictures, get signed books, signed programs, tell me stories, share with me what they enjoy most about the show. And these people are so well-versed in the history of the show. And they're also well-versed in some of the things that have transpired in recent weeks. And after I gave my talk today, after each speaker presented his remarks, there would be a short question and answer time. So when a speech ends, a little line forms and people ask questions. And so I took some questions as well. And the very first question that was asked was, it was very short and sweet. James, are you still a Southern Baptist? Because of course they have heard on the radio in the last couple of weeks, all of the unpleasantness there with the church. And so that's why I actually selected that song. Will it go round in circles? Got a story, ain't got no morals, let the bad guy win every once in a while. So the answer to that question, I could only answer honestly. And the way I answered was, am I still a Southern Baptist? The answer is apparently not. I say apparently not because no one with the convention will speak to me. So I don't know what they've done or haven't done. All I know, but I am still a Southerner and I am still a Baptist, so they can't take that away. But I'm afraid I may no longer have the official sanction, or my church, rather, no longer has the official sanction of the convention. And guess how I learned about it, ladies and gentlemen? The Southern Poverty Law Center knew about it before I did. That's right. Well, actually, I still haven't heard about it from any association related to the Southern Baptist Convention. My pastor has not heard from them. Our church has not heard from them. But they were good enough to report to the Southern Poverty Law Center that they had disfellowshipped our church. So here's the situation. As you may know, the Southern Baptist Convention disfellowshipped our church, or at least one of the associations did. Earlier this week, apparently, I say, I'm taking the Southern Poverty Law Center's word for it, because my pastor wouldn't cave to their demands to expel me. They didn't even have the honor to inform us of the decision. As I mentioned, instead, we found out about it from an article published by the SPLC. I kid you not. So what we have here, apparently, is a Christian church collaborating with the Southern Poverty Law Center to disfellowship a Bible-believing congregation. What do you do with it? Betrayal is always unpleasant. What do you want me to do? You want me to kick and scream and be upset and be mad? I accept these things that I have no control over. Some people say you should celebrate that you've unshackled yourself from that albatross, and maybe that's true the way they're going. But at the end of the day, betrayal is always unpleasant. But I have been blessed with the support of the people nearest and dearest to me, and so what else can you ask for? And it makes such a big difference. And the support of those people up there at that conference today was just really heartwarming. But the unfortunate ordeal has not shaken my belief in the faith of our fathers, nor has it led me to question my commitment to being a leading advocate for European Americans. Quite the opposite, in fact. And that's just the kind of guy I am. It's just hard to knock me off stride. And as I said, I want to thank my listeners for the overwhelming outpouring of love, support, emails, letters. We talked about this last week. I'm going to continue to confront our enemies with a joyful heart. But I'll ask this rhetorical question once again, and we asked this last week. Could there be any victory more complete than to have the descendants of one's own defeated foes embrace the victor's principles and repudiate those of their ancestors? Well, that's exactly what you've got going on all over the place, and including the church here in the South. Somebody whose father was a Presbyterian minister wrote me this week in reaction to all this, and he said, "No one has done more harm to the Christian religion than the church." He said, "My father used to say that the fact that the church still exists despite all the damage done to it by its representatives is a strong argument that Christ was right when he promised that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." These rude, pushy, stupid, pig-headed, self-righteous, ridiculous people that have expelled you are cast in the same mold as the fools who went after Galileo. Good point. Thank you for sharing that with me. Another person, nothing. Jared Taylor wrote me. Jared has been following this thing closely. I do hope that once the facts are clearly established that you'll write something about this in its own way. It is a clear channel marker of our decline as anything I have heard of in a long time. Well, thank you, Jared. I'll take up that opportunity after I rest and rejuvenate, and we'll write something for Amren, and we'll have our postmortems. But, yeah, so that happened earlier in the week, even in advance of me departing to go up to Montgomery Bell for the conference. And, of course, that was a spiritual gathering. I received a letter. I don't believe I have it with me right now. Oh, my gosh. If y'all could see my desk here, ladies and gentlemen, it would scare you. I don't know. I've got papers all over the place. I don't know where I put it. I'll try to find it in a break. It was a letter that came in from a listener in Florida, Gus in Florida. And he said that TPC is his church. I believe that's what it said. I'll tell you 100% when I find it. But, yeah, we have a community here, and we have a community, and we use this show for Christ. We use this show to advance Christianity. Will weak-minded people and those who hate us ever get me to question whether or not I'm right? No, I'm convinced that what we do here is righteous, and it is not in contradiction with our faith. And so they can do what they will, but it's not going to affect the way I go about living my life and doing my business. I'm actually going to read to you a little bit from the Southern Poverty Law Center's article, if you would allow me to do that when we come back, and I'll answer some of the things that were written there, and we'll talk a little bit more about this, and then we'll move on because there's nothing else to say. We'll be back.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Okay, forgive me, ladies and gentlemen, but I am going to read a few passages from this SPLC piece. I'm not going to read the whole thing. James Edwards, host of the Political Cesspool, a white nationalist. It doesn't matter how many times I tell people I don't like that particular term. I am a white advocate, but anyway. A white nationalist AM radio broadcast is the latest source of controversy over racism in the Southern Baptist Convention. Edwards' congregation is no longer a member. According to an official with the group, the split is a result of mounting pressure from pastors of other Baptist congregations urging Edwards' pastor to expel Edwards from the congregation. I learned several weeks ago that there are some pastors from out of state who have decided that James is a racist. We're not going to wade into whether James is a racist or not, because he is not, David Rogers told listeners. That's my pastor, of course, on the June 2nd broadcast. Skipping down, Edwards' associations have cost him. He lost a 2017 defamation suit against the Detroit News, who referred to him as a Klan leader. The appeals judge in that case reminded Edwards in a written opinion that a man is known by the company he keeps. There's some sound legal jurisprudence, if there ever was. Skipping down more, Edwards has been very careful in recent years to avoid using inflammatory language and racial slurs on his show, preferring instead to allow his guests to voice their own extreme beliefs. Now, that's an interesting term. Edwards has been careful in recent years to avoid using inflammatory language and racial slurs. Technically, that's true. I have not done that in recent years, but what's untrue is it leads people to believe that I may have done it in earlier years. I have never used racial slurs on the air. Give me a break. But by putting in recent years, this is just one of those dishonest tactics that our opponents will put in there. Well, that must mean that long ago he did do that. Well, of course not. Where are we at now? Skipping again. Yeah, they didn't say that I did. They just inferred that. Correct. They talked about what a racist I am. One of the things that they, from March 21st, 2015 episode, Edwards told listeners, "I'm firmly of the belief that race relations were better during Jim Crow and even better in the antebellum South than they are now." Hard to imagine they would have been worse than they are now. I stand by that statement 100%. 8 years prior, Edwards appeared on April 4th, 2007 broadcast of CNN, where he told viewers that crime and violence follow African Americans wherever they go. Now they got me, folks. I guess all those statistics are just racist statistics compiled by the FBI and others. Rogers refused to comment and hung up the phone when contacted by Hate Watch. Yeah, it was the racist FBI that compiled those statistics. When Hate Watch, when contacted last week by Hate Watch, an official with the Mid-South Baptist Association confirmed the split, despite being unaware of the rupture's origins. Well, that gives you hope in the whole process. Rogers has not been alone in defending Edwards, although his deflection of the accusations of racism is less straightforward than a piece published in Faith and Heritage by Adam Gray, whose other works include I'm Alt-Right and You Should Be Too. The post at Faith and Heritage compares Dwight McKissick to Satan, urges Southern Baptists to stand up to their non-white accusers and their spineless white collaborators. Edwards has in the past been critical of the Southern Baptist Convention and took swings at McKissick and other church leaders in a racist satire shared to thepoliticalcesspool.org. I don't think it was racist. I thought it was funny. They say that the post depicts McKissick speaking in gibberish. Well, he speaks in tongues. These people have no sense of humor. Edwards did not return a call for comment. Okay. All right. Let me get past all of this. All right. So that's basically the article. Well, anyway, so when people ask, have I been kicked out of the Southern Baptist? I guess I could say because I don't know. But the SBLC does know. At least they claim to. With regard to the 2017 Michigan appellate court ruling, with regard to my case, a man is known by the company he keeps. Apparently, the SPLC believes in a parody of the parody of Joe McCarthy, that a man is known by the company he keeps. It wasn't always this way, of course. We were all weaned on an educational diet of posturing liberals bewailing the awful tactic of guilt by association, but it isn't that way now. Another listener wrote in this week. Y'all have been fantastic, by the way, with all of these comments. I can't read them all on the air. Not that I wouldn't. They're all polite and worthy of a family show, but there's just too many. We hear words spoken that Jesus came to the wicked and to the lost sheep. I've always thought that the Baptists really did minister to all classes of society and to alcoholics and others like them. But we now see that in the opinion of the Baptist clergy, Jesus may have come to the tax collectors and the prostitutes, but he did not come to whites who refused to hate themselves and repudiate their ancestors. And it's worse in another respect, as we have discussed. Other denominations have formal rules governing excommunications. I know the Presbyterians set up on the matter, and I'm pretty sure it's much the same with Catholics, the Lutherans, and the Anglicans. You can't be excommunicated without a legal process. Charges have to be made in writing that specify exactly what the alleged problems are. You have a right to answer the charges. A court is convened and a panel of qualified clergy hears the case. You have a right to testify in your defense and to dispute the charges. You have a right to question your accusers. You have the right to have an advocate assist you in the trial. These things are like air and water to Anglo-Saxons. They are warp and woof of our history, of how we deal with each other in such matters. As a state church in our British homeland, the Church of Scotland adheres to such practices. Basic, decent due process and justice are not concepts limited to Christians. Even in pagan Rome, under the rule of a supposed god emperor, as a Roman citizen, Paul had rights that were recognized, right to a trial, right to be heard, right to questions one accusers, and so on. And as we mentioned on the show last week, Matthew 18, 15 through 17, the Bible, God speaking through the authors of the Bible, lays out a several-step process for removing people from the church and the behavior of these Baptist preachers in dealing with me is in defiance of what God instructed us to do and how he instructed us to do it. Our sense of justice as Anglo-Saxons has been violated. The high-handed, arrogant, contemptuous behavior of these people is sickening. What they have done is to corrupt the very process of justice in the church itself. It pollutes the entire church because these preachers are acting or claim to be acting in the name of the church. What they have done brings the church and the Christian religion into public contempt from anybody who is aware of what took place here in this particular case. One wonders, was there even one Baptist clergyman in this local association who spoke out against this shrill, self-righteous, unjust, and outrageous act? I gather that every single one of them all went along with it because, God forbid, they be called the R-word. The courage of men has failed. We live in an age of hypocrites and moral cowards. Now, let's focus on the hypocritical part of it, if we can, just for a moment, ladies and gentlemen. I am supposedly beyond fellowship in the Southern Baptist Convention because I am proud of my identity as a son of Europe, as a son of the South. Well, the Southern Baptist Convention claims that our only identity should be in Christ, but they're lying. They are lying. The only identity the Southern Baptist Convention condemns is a white one. Several Baptist female and ethno-racial groups hosted events at the Southern Baptist Convention, including the Asian American Fellowship, the Chinese Baptist Fellowship, the Fellowship of Native American Christians, the Filipino International Mission Board Summit, the Filipino Southern Baptist Fellowship of North America, the Hispanic Meeting, the Korean American English Speaking Pastors Conference, the National African American Fellowship. And I could go on and on. So they don't have a problem with people being Christian and also taking pride in their identity and grouping together as communities. They allow it for everyone else except for the founding stock of their very denomination. Ladies and gentlemen, the church has become almost entirely taken over by the world. There's very little difference except for a few Bible verses here and there. We'll be back.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
So, you two are real actors, huh?
Well, I was an extra on a soap opera for 3 years.
And I'm best known for starring in cat food commercials.
Meow. And you're going to play our parents for how long?
Oh, just during dinner for the next few years, probably until you're both off to college. Your real parents will be back every night at 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock?
Hey, your dad's busy. He's got work, softball, client functions.
Yeah, and your mom, she's got the literary club and play rehearsals. So.
Don't you worry. They'll be back on time.
Otherwise, we get time and a half.
Ka-ching! Okay, according to the script, we're supposed to ask you how your day was.
Yes.
Okay, I guess.
Ooh, is that the best you can do?
I think I want my real parents.
I don't see that in the script.
No ad-libbing, please.
There's no substitute for a loving parent. And when you're really there, you'll know how much you care. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For more tips on strengthening your family, visit family.mormon.org.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength? In body and mind. He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example. Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
Getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosher Certified, and it shed light on a century-old certification in industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense, as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, I'm going to read just a couple of more emails, then we're going to take a phone call. This one comes in from a lifelong Southern Baptist gentleman in his 60s who has attended a lot of these national conventions as a Southern Baptist messenger, and he is a longtime supporter of the political cesspool as well. And he writes that this is embarrassing to me as a Southern Baptist, since all of these events confirm the stereotype of Baptists, particularly Southern Baptists, as not being deep thinkers who follow a trendy bumper sticker theology rather than examining the scriptures in their deep historical context. For example, the so-called sin of racism is nowhere mentioned in the Bible, and I've not heard any convincing argument that contemporary liberal formulations of that supposed wrong are really synonymous with any real sinful conduct that the Bible does condemn. For example, how can it be a sin to have a greater sense of attachment to your own children than children of another ethnicity who live thousands of miles away from you and whom you have never even met? It's a good question. But this is just another attempt of our so-called elites to suck up to the head table, particularly that renowned Christian institution, the Southern Poverty Law Center. That comes from a longtime Southern Baptist in Georgia. Another Southern Baptist, writing in this week, your entire church should shake the dust from your sandals and not look back. Who would want to belong to the Southern Baptist Convention anymore? They are now controlled by the enemy. There was one thing that I saw that the president of the Southern Baptist Convention I did say this week at the convention. Somebody had come up to bring forth a motion to defund Russell Moore's organization. And he said that the reasons we need to do this is that Russell Moore has disparaged Christians who voted for Donald Trump. And he listed a couple of other things. It was very well spoken. There wasn't any swearing. There wasn't any condemnation. I mean, he spoke the facts. He spoke the facts, but he didn't. There was no name calling. But he was immediately cut off by the president of the convention saying, be very careful to not disparage a brother in Christ. Isn't that remarkable? That the same leadership, like the same leadership that would say, don't disparage this man by telling the truth about him, would also be the same leadership who would refer to me publicly as a white supremacist and a Klansman. Now, how could you disparage a man? How could you bring more ruin to their reputation than to attach those two adjectives to their name? And that is exactly what the leadership has done. And they did it to my pastor, and they did it to the entire church that we belong to by association. So once again, hypocrites and moral cowards. That is what we are dealing with there. They are a disgrace to their ancestors. They are a disgrace to themselves. They are a disgrace to their children, and they are a disgrace to their faith. Let's take a caller from California. John, take it away. Yes.
Yes, sir, Mr. Edwards. Listen, sorry about all your troubles with the church. I wanted to apologize to Richard Spencer. If he's listening or if you care to hear, apparently his direct message link on Twitter has been hijacked by some imposter who's got about 12 years old with the IQ of a bowling ball, and his only argument is called you names. I heard Mr. Spencer on YouTube like 2 days later, and it certainly couldn't have been the same guy that I was talking to with direct message. That being said, as far as your pastor and all these other characters, not your pastor, but whoever is calling me a racist. Racist is a political term. You know, when they inject politics with church, that may not pass the lemon test. You might be able to slam them on their IRS tax benefits on something like that. That would certainly shut them up if possible.
That's very interesting.
Well, I like to use the IRS tax laws against their same thing with the Southern Poverty Law Center. When they're using the church in some fashion, that also can be turned on them. What I never understood was you have this some kind of dialogue or some kind of list or something from the church that was condemning the white race or whatever, and said if you didn't accept minorities and women and all this kind of thing. You spoke about it several months back. So I always thought, why didn't you just get a copy of this, turn it around and change it to the Jewish religion and attack the Jews? They have a Jewish National Congress. They have a number of organizations as well as their synagogues, and ask them, hey, why aren't you accepting blacks in your religion? And if you're not going to do that, then you're racist and you should have your tax benefits taken away as well. I mean, that certainly would give them a kick in the pants. So anyway, I know you got a tough time there. Feel free if you want to attack them with IR statutes to hit the small claims court. They'll move you right into the district court. You'll have a federal judge looking at it. I do want to tell you that I was going to send you a copy of a case that I won in the District Court of Appeal here in California in front of three judges and against two lawyers, against two administrators from a junior college out there. So, yes, you can win in court, assuming you put the effort forward. There are arguments out there, and you just got to come up with the right one. You just never know who's going to be sitting on the bench. So a lot of conservatives, things are changing. I still think we need more Charlottesville. If you notice, back in the day, Dr. King spent 13 years, about 100 demonstrations before that things changed his way. I think we need to do at least the same thing going the opposite direction. So nonetheless, I'm listening to you. I'm all for you. And like I said, I did listen to Mr. Spencer on YouTube. I do check out other leaders of the so-called movement. My main focus is to resegregate the society if possible, especially the public schools. And we'll get more people on our side once the psychological adjustment of men's minds and actions to the unfamiliar and the unpleasant is removed. And you should know that members of the Supreme Court do have Twitter accounts. Justice Gorsuch is one. I think Clarence Thomas is another. And you can believe it. When I get on there, I lay it to them heavy. Now, probably their assistants are reading it and scrutinizing it and all that, but nonetheless, it's going out, and haven't got anything back yet, but we'll see what happens. So thank you for your time, sir.
Well, thank you for your call and for your time as well. I appreciated hearing what you had to say. We always like to open up our platform here from time to time to the audience, and thank you for listening. Interesting advice. My last expedition into court didn't exactly turn out too well, but I agree. We shouldn't abandon it because of one bad experience. If there is a case and if there are laws on our side, I don't know if I'm going to do everything that I just heard, but it's worth looking into it. I tell you what, it is always good to do is to spitball and to brainstorm and to still sharpen steel. That's for sure. There's always things out there that I haven't considered. I'm not sure exactly. I'm actually on Richard Spencer's Twitter page right now. That looks like the normal stuff. I don't know exactly what he was talking about there, if that was a serious comment. But anyway, I appreciate John for listening, and I appreciate John for calling in. One other thing I want to say, this will conclude our three-part lamentations over the church, and I'm sure I'll be back on it again in due time. But where was I going with that? Oh, yes. Of course, 2 weeks ago, we did 2 hours on it. That was the show my pastor was on. Last week, I think we did a follow-up for at least an hour. And then tonight, we're sort of wrapping it up because I guess the last full measure has happened. We've been disfellowshipped. But even Mike Pence was too radical and controversial for the Southern Baptist Convention. Can you believe it? More than 80% of Southern Baptists did the right thing and voted for Donald Trump. Nobody was offended in the rank and file that the vice president addressed that gathering in Dallas last week, except for the craven and apostate so-called leadership. Southern Baptists stand with the president. The vice president gave a good speech at the Southern Baptist Convention. The gulf between the layman and the church and the beta male leadership is vast. And none of the whiners would have complained if Obama had requested to speak to them. I can tell you that. Dwight McKissick would have been doing cartwheels and leveled accusations of racism if anyone had opposed Obama in that alternate reality where Obama would have come and asked to speak to the Southern Baptist Convention. And the vice president got a nice standing ovation by the messengers there, and by extension, so too did the Trump administration. And I thought it was a pretty good talk, but it just goes to show you can Google it, as Hillary said, Google it. But there was a lot of controversy over him coming from the head table, controversial to them maybe, but certainly not to the people who actually go to these churches. That I thought was interesting. If Mike Pence is too controversial for the Southern Baptist Convention, brothers, we ain't got a chance. And they are just too far gone. Mike Pence is Casper Milquetoast. I appreciate his stance on faith and on some of the other issues, but he is not hardcore at all. He is about as good as you can get out of a completely establishment Republican. But it does prove the political point that John made. Now, is there anything else? I want to be sure to get this done because I don't want to have to revisit this next week. I guess that's about it. There may have been another thing or two rattling around in my brain, but I am a little tired from the travel. So when we come back, here's how we're going to wrap it up. Liberalization is not inevitable. We're going to end this whole thing on a high note, at least something that I think will instill a little hope and encouragement in you before we take a week, and then we'll be back with you next Saturday, of course. But in that time, between then, now and then, I'll leave you with somewhat uplifting news. So we'll be right back to share it.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosher-tify, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
I remembered it before we leave you with the good news, I remembered what was rattling around in my head a moment ago that I wanted to be sure to mention to you, but I couldn't quite grasp it. It was the fact that you hear these wonderful ads that we play on the show, right, ladies and gentlemen, these LDS public service announcements. Family-friendly, well-produced ads. It's public domain. These are public service announcements, after all, and they are put out there, and people can use them as they wish. And Sam Bushman, this runs these free of charge throughout the whole network, including on this show. And I'm happy to air them because I think they contain fantastic messages and messages that I believe in. A message that all good and decent people should believe in. Well, one of these do-gooding organizations out there took issue with the fact and tried to stir up a little media-manufactured controversy, and they contacted the people who produced the ads and asked if they knew that these were running on such an abhorrent radio show or something of the like. And they said, of course, oh, no. No, no, I didn't know that. We've got to stop that. We need to stop that. And then they called Sam Bushman for comment, and Sam just really took the bulls by the horn, and he said, listen, we believe in the message. There's no money that is being paid. We don't make money off of commercials. We run commercials for things we believe in, and James has some commercial time that he gives to some of the people that he works with, and as the network owner, I have some time, and I put in some of these ads because I believe in the message. If they tell me to cease and desist, I will. But otherwise, we're going to continue to run them because this is a message that people need to hear. And that was pretty much it. But the point is that at the same time that I was going through this rancor with the Southern Baptist Convention, there too was trying to be manufactured a rift between these wonderful ads that the LDS manufactured hate and division between the people who produce these wonderful public service announcements and an actual terrestrial radio network that runs these out of the goodness of Sam Bushman's heart for free. And so that's the kind of people we're dealing with, ladies and gentlemen, people who would try to divide and tear down and take, have a hand in taking wholesome messages off the air and drive a wedge between us and our churches and drive a wedge between us and our communities. These people really do seek to destroy by any means necessary. I guess if we played a gay and lesbian commercial, would they love it? Would they take issue with that? If we played a pro-abortion commercial, a Planned Parenthood commercial, would they call Planned Parenthood? I don't know. But anyway, Sam Bushman handled it masterfully, and we'll just go on. All we can do is take everything day by day and keep doing the Lord's work and keep doing things to the best of our ability, hating no one but telling the truth in love. Now, liberalization is not inevitable. This is the parting shot I want to give you tonight, ladies and gentlemen. As Christians, we confess that God is in control over what happens in this world. We confess that his plan for the universe will inevitably come to pass. And we know from Scripture what his plan is. Nonetheless, in the day-to-day reality that we live in, I often hear something, experiences of the exact opposite. Things are getting worse is something that you hear even ardent postmillennialists say nowadays. While we should take heed against false optimism, it is easy for Christians to slip into the paradigm of liberal democracy as the end of history. Liberal democracy that has established itself in the Western world since the end of World War II is the ultimate telos of history. Nothing can and will supersede it, these people believe. The history of the world thereby culminates in a multicultural, secular, pro-abortion, gay, global village. Now, while no Christian should adhere to this mindset, many well-meaning Christians do so either implicitly or explicitly, ergo dispensationalist, and I'm reading right now from an article at faithandheritage.com. The net effect is withdrawal from the culture war and or seclusion, which has its time and place, to be sure, but it's certainly not the lifestyle to which Christian nationalists are called, especially not in this wicked and evil day. We know that the liberalization of society is not inevitable. We know this from Scripture, but in our weakness, the reality of our time leads many of us to live as if without this knowledge. Therefore, the writer of this piece at faithandheritage.com wants to point you to a few interesting recent surveys for encouragement. We walk by faith and not by sight, but I believe that we can see the works of God in his creation and history. Therefore, the following facts can aid in encouraging us. Here are some statistics, ladies and gentlemen. Generation Z is more conservative than millennials. They are twice as likely to attend church, less sexually active, and less feminist, and we mean less sexually active in the unbiblical way. Hopefully they're having more children and therefore being more sexually active in the marriage bedroom. But 40% of Generation Z disagree with the idea that men should be breadwinners and women homemakers, compared to 60% of millennials. While this doesn't yet seem to be the case in America, in the United Kingdom, a survey found that Generation Z had more conservative views on homosexuality and transgenderism than millennials. Of course, they are still, as a whole, a liberal generation, as the recent anti-gun protest evidence, but there are definite signs that with this generation, the tide of liberalization could be turning. Number two, reasons for optimism tonight. As we close, both Europe and the U.S. are swinging towards the right. We see it everywhere in Europe nowadays, the right doing well and even winning election after election. Hungary and Poland are prime examples, but even in the more liberal meccas like the U.K., France, and Germany, right-wing parties are making immense progress. Bavaria in Germany, for example, recently ordered that the Christian cross be reinstated. Listen to me here, ladies and gentlemen. Reinstated on all public buildings in the state after it had been banned for nearly three decades. That's in Bavaria. The United States, of course, with Trump's election, was a historic electoral swing to the right. But now we even have nationalist candidates like Paul Nehlen and Patrick Little running for high offices. Eastern Europe is being re-Christianized, another cause for hope. I honestly regard this to be the miracle of the century thus far, that countries formerly mired in hard communism for over six decades can emerge with traditional Christianity and nationalism filling the vacuum left in the public domain. In Russia, the number of people who self-identify as Orthodox rose from 37% in 1991 to 71% in 2016. In the same period, the figure in Bulgaria rose from 59% to 75%, and in Ukraine from 39% to 78%. Fantastic reasons for hope. Hardcore evidence that things are changing for the better in some parts of the world. A recent survey in Russia found that the percentage of the people opposing abortion has increased from 12% to 35% in the past 20 years. In that same period, those who condemned extramarital relations increased from 50% to 68%, and opposition to homosexuality increased from 68% to 83%. While the percentage of those self-identifying as Christians in Poland has decreased, church attendance is stable and recently rose to almost 40% for the first time in many years. And as we know, in Poland, the government there, very pro-Christian, even declared Jesus Christ to be the king of Poland just a couple of years ago. Now, granted, these statistics represent only a small part of what's happening in the world, and we obviously face a very big uphill battle. We're not going to pretend that we don't, and we do live in dark times, but take encouragement from these facts, as I believe that through them, God is showing us that he is at work and he is laying the groundwork for his victory. So let us therefore strive towards a nuanced, realistic view of the state of the world today and avoid both overt pessimism and unrealistic optimism in the face of challenges. The fact of the matter is history is fluid. Things can change, even today. Liberalism is not the end of history, not in the West, not anywhere, as the whole world, I believe, will soon learn. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Other good things going on. Hungarian foreign minister says that migration is not a fundamental human right. International efforts should focus on helping people live peacefully in their homelands rather than trying to legalize illegal migration. The foreign minister told the United Nations intergovernment meeting in New York a few days ago. Migration is not a fundamental human right. Living peacefully and in good conditions in one homeland is. He added that protecting borders is not an option but a responsibility for countries. He added that when people are forced to leave their homeland, they should be helped to stay as close as possible, and once the conflict is over, return home. Who could argue with such a policy? Fantastic stuff coming out of Hungary and even now in Italy. Italy, the new prime minister, Conte, vows to end the immigration business, as he calls it, outlining a revolutionary populist agenda for Italy. The nation's new prime minister has promised an end to mass immigration from third world nations. The people spoke and demanded change, Giuseppe Conte said Tuesday in his maiden address to Parliament, where he promised to serve the public as their lawyer for the interests of the Italian people. A lawyer with no background in politics, the Italian premier confirmed that populist would be an appropriate descriptor for Italy's new government, a coalition government, and he is already stopping the boats of refugees coming into Europe. Ladies and gentlemen, a lot of reasons to be hopeful, a lot of reasons that you can use to motivate you and encourage you as you go forward. Remember this, ladies and gentlemen, we are halfway through our second quarter fundraising drive. If you appreciate the work of this show, if you appreciate the stands that we take and the way that we stand strong in face of adversity, go to thepoliticalcesspool.org and donate tonight. Send us a check, donate, help us out, help us stay on the air. We'll be back next week. We love you. Good night and God bless you.
Or to make a donation to keep this program on the air, go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.